Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice 102.3, an exciting mix of music and ministry.
Welcome to Mortgage Talk with your host, Rick Montgomery. During the broadcast, you'll learn the ins and outs concerning your mortgage and how to manage your finances when owning a home. Now, here's your host, Rick Montgomery, with Mortgage Talk.
All right, and welcome to Mortgage Talk. Hi, I'm Rick Montgomery. Glad to having a little problem here, Block Talk. You guys have to try to keep me together here because we have been getting cut off here. Our signal has been dropping here. It dropped last week, and I do apologize for last week for you guys. We did continue the show. You can listen to last week's show by going to speaker.com/8501589. So you can get that on speaker.com. Only 20 minutes was on Blog Talk as we started on Blog Talk. I don't know what happened. We've been on Blog Talk since, 2012. We've always had a great connection with Blog Talk. Don't know what happened with that here. We lost you just a while ago. Dave the Man, of course, joined me in the studio as he opened up with Gerald LeVert, give me an opportunity to get situated. And we lost the signal. So I just told him, I said, hey, look, cut it. Let's go directly to our show. Get us back connected so we can do the show. So we're back. Glad to be back. Glad that you guys are here today. We are streaming nationally, and we're streaming from WHPNN Radio Network. As I mentioned earlier, joining me in the studio, of course, is Dave the Man. He's an engineer here at WHPNN Radio Network. Blog Talk Radio is who we are streaming through, one of our favorite directories, but they got to keep me connected here. Was very disappointing on last week. So we definitely need to stay connected this week, Blog Talk. So we're glad to be part here of the Blog Talk family to bring you nothing but some good information that we have for you. This month, as I said before, we are starting off talking about HUD programs. Okay, giving you some FHA. Now, FHA, the Federal Housing Administration, is an independent agency that is part of HUD. Okay, all of the conventional guidelines are guidelines set forth by HUD. All banks and lenders follow HUD's guidelines. I'll give you another example. One of the most powerful loans out here today that I think it is, my opinion only, is a USDA, United States Department of Agriculture loan, better known as the USDA direct loan, but there are three different stages of these loans to able to help three different classes of people, if I can say that without trying to be in some upper entrechelon type deal, because I'm not. they follow the HUD guidelines. Now, I'm talking about the USDA. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/mortgagetalk1, and you can scroll down and you can choose from the blogs there, and you can look for the USDA, and you can listen in when I was talking about the USDA. Now, they did make some adjustments, and I'm going to be talking about them within the next 3 months. We're going to go into some great details about the USDA loans, okay? But that's for that time. Our today's topic is talking about FHA Graduate Payment Mortgage Program. The acronyms are the GPM. It also has another name, better known as Section 245A. There are five of the FHA Graduate Mortgage Program. There are five of them. One of them is going to fit you. There are five of them. Three of
And so these are the, are we back? Okay, good. So these are the, where are we, Dave? You threw me off. Yeah, you did. You threw me off. Okay. Okay, we're back again. I didn't know that we got disconnected. So we got disconnected again. Okay, so now we're back intact again. Okay, let me just repeat what I had mentioned earlier. So let's see, can we get that? Okay. All right. Thank you, Dave. I did. Thank you so much. As I was mentioning, let me just repeat again because I didn't know that we was off. Thank you, Dave. Thank you for getting this thing back together for me. I do appreciate it. There are five FHA graduate payment mortgage programs. Three of them allows the mortgage payments to increase at 5% a year, 7.5 a year, up to 7.5 a year over a 5-year period. It's going to increase. It's going to go to 5%. Then it's going to go to 7.5% over a 5-year period, okay, of a loan. The other two programs has an increase to 2 to 3% on the payments annually over a 10-year period. Okay. Important facts to know before choosing this program, because not all programs is for everybody. That's why they have so many different programs that can fit so many different people. So the program has to be for you, as I'm going to go over all the criteria of the program and explain it how it works, so you can determine whether this program is for you. I've heard too often that we don't even have a opportunity to get the American dream. We, meaning that we who got turned down from a conventional loan or even a non-conforming loan, we thought that we had 2 to 3 years to wait before we can go out and apply again based off what we were told. And that simply is not true based on the situation. An educated consumer, which is the best customer, if you understand the programs that is out here, what I'm talking about today and the reason for it, is that programs that's offered by HUD and by FHA, they have certified lenders that are signed up with them. These certified lenders agree to lower their criteria and follow HUD's. They agree to work with low and moderate income and challengeable credit to help them obtain a loan. So when you know about these programs, you're not stuck. Let me give another example. You're going to Alaska because you want to go to the Antarctic. You know very little about how to survive out there or what type of equipment to take. But you meet Peter, who has been out there before many times, and he's able to assist you by helping you get the right equipment that you need and educating you that when your body temperature may drop, or if it does, what to do to maintain your survival. It is the same thing here. As Peter helped one person, I'm offering to help many. To make you aware of a program, a government program, that was designed to help you. And you may be the one that needs this program. So let me finish. There's some important facts to know before choosing this program. The buyer anticipates a potential increase in income to offset the rising mortgage payment. They also need to recognize that over the life of the mortgage, they will pay more in interest. This program, FHA, is for home buyers who currently have low to moderate income, but expects their income to substantially increase over the next 5 to 10 years so they can be able to keep up with the costs. Those who considering using the graduate payment mortgage program to purchase a home should keep in mind that while their monthly payments to the principal and interest will stay small, they will increase substantially each year for up to 10 years, depending on the payment plan selected. Remember I told you that there's five, and I gave you the first three, and then I told you about the other two. I'm going to give you a little bit more details later on into the other two. Let me stop here for just 1 second. Now, let me just go back to close up to bring about some closure in that one while we're moving on to give you more about this program. This program is designed to help people. Okay? Here are some examples that I want to give you, and I'm going to give you more down the road, but I want to give you this one here. If you purchase a house, let's say the house is at $100,000, and your payments on that principal and interest and escrow is going to be $609, but your income is low, and you look at it and say, oh, my God, I can't afford $609. What am I going to do? Well, then you won't be able to get that loan, right? But under this program, you will, because the payments is going to be suitable for what you can meet, and $450 is what you can meet. So $450 will be what your payments will be starting out on this particular loan. Now, understand something here, that $609 is principal and interest. Let's throw some figures out there. Because the average mortgage on a $100,000 loan, your principal, and I'm going to do a guesstimation here, will probably be about, let's say, $85. It might be even a little lower, maybe $59 or something, but I'm just saying $85 for my own example, okay? And the interest, well, stop. The escrow is at $175. No, let's say $150, okay? The escrow is at $150. The principal is at $85. The rest is interest out of that $609 payment. Are you with me, or am I by myself? I heard a wise man say. But your payment here is only $450, so you short of the interest. Okay? You're short of the interest. Remember now. You can do the mathematic figures. We can do it together. We got $150, which is your escrow, that don't count, that's taxes and insurance, and your principal is $85, okay? So let's take $150 out of the 609. I haven't done those figures, so I'm going to do it in my head. You follow me too, okay? So we can take 150 out of that. So let's do that. That leaves about, let's say, $459. Okay? That's what's left. Now you take about, what, $85 of that? Okay? Let's take that out of the way. Leave you about $359 plus add that difference of that $15 in that. Come on, let's do that. You can do that. Come on now. That's the interest. But when you look at $450, you minus that, you see the difference of the interest that you're not paying yet. You take that difference and you multiply it by 12, and that's what you're paying for the year, and that's what's going to be added to the back of the loan, and that is called a negative amortization. And I'm going to go into that in just a bit, but I want to give you this example. You realize that the payment is going to increase. That's why I went over the 5%, the 7.5 over a five-year period. So the next year, the payment is going to gradually go up. It's going to gradually go up. Most people that go for this loan understand the fact that the income is going to increase. You're going to hear me say this throughout the topic as I'm talking. Okay? The reason why that I say that, because let me give you some examples of that. You're in school. You're working right now. You work for a nice corporation. But you know that you need to get that degree or you need to get that certification, that training. And it's going to take you a 2 to 3 year period to get it. At the end of that, you're going to be able to apply for a higher position that's going to pay you more money. Remember now, you got 10 years under this program that you're going to have a gradual increase over a 10-year period. At the end of that 10th year, that last payment was going to ride out for the duration of the contract. So you're aware of this prior to you getting involved in this program. So you know that you can meet these payments. You're just starting off low for right now. You know what your amortization is going to be for year two, because you're going to get that at closing under your truth in lending. You know what your amortization is going to be for year three, for year four. So you already have these figures. There's no surprising to you. That's why I recommend mortgage brokers. I really do. They give you so much. It's almost like a private consultation. You get it. They give it to you so much. I'm not taking nothing away from lending institutions or loan officers. You got some good ones out there. You really, truly do. But you also got some ticket takers out there. They got to go back and ask managers how do they explain this or that there. And sometimes things that get lost through the loops, okay? That's all I'm just saying. Don't want to beat a horse, you got to move on. You got a lot to cover. So you know what the payments is going to be up to the 10th year, so your budget setting is already being set. Because remember now, your income is going to increase in 3 years. It's going to increase for some of you in five. It's going to increase from some of you up to the 10th year. Okay? This is not for those that say, hey, man, I'm going to do Uber. Okay, you can. If you're calculating that, Uber is a business. If you run it and operate it like a business, you certainly can do so. Okay? But some of us are in situations where we're told that we're going to be moving to the downtown area of the state that we're in. We're going to have two branches, and Bob, you're going to be running the XYZ department. Now, this is going to take place within the next year. Not everybody is going to be going. We like you. We like your work. We want you to keep it quiet. Okay? These things happen in corporations. So Bob knows that in a year time, his income is going to increase. He knows right now with some of his debt that he has that he needs to keep his payments at a reasonable setting, and this mortgage program can work for him. He's seen his amortization. He understands that he will have a negative amortization that I'm going to go into in just a bit. But he also understands what his payments would be each year, because the interest rate does not increase because it is a fixed rate mortgage. And fixed rate mortgage interest rates do not go up. I had a young lady to call me and to say, Rick, you know, I listened to your show. You know, it was one of your old shows there. Are you still doing Mortgage Talk? Because we were out for a period of time. And I said, yes, we will be returning very, very soon. I anticipate that within another 6 months. She said, well, you said that if you're on a fixed rate mortgage, your payments won't go up. And she said, I just called to tell you that you were wrong. My payments did go up. Okay. I said, were you on a fixed rate mortgage? She said, yes. I said, are you sure? She said, yes, I'm very sure. It is a fixed 30. I said, okay. Wow, okay, good, fixed 30. I said, well, did your taxes go up? She says, well, yeah, it did. I said, did your insurance go up, your homeowner's insurance? She said, yes, it did. Well, that's why your mortgage payments went up. Your rate did not change, but the payment increased because of the taxes and insurance. This example is the same example that I'm going to give to you under this program. When I gave you the 5% increase in payment, not interest rate, the 7.5% increase in payment over a 10-year period, not interest rate, is going to go up for the first 5 of the years, and then it will go up again for the remaining 5 of the years, up to the 10th year, then right off for the duration of the contract. That is not your interest going up. It is the payments going up, and that is the percentage of what you're currently paying. 5% of that 450 is going to increase the next year, and the next year up to the 5 year, then it's going to increase again for at a 7.5% over the next 5 years up until you reach the 10th year. With me or by myself, I heard a wise man say. That is the perfect example that I can give you on this particular program. Okay? As I said before, this program, which is the FHA program under HUD, is for home buyers who currently have low to moderate income, but, key factor, expect their income to substantially increase over the next 5 to 10 years so they can keep up with the increase in payments. Those who are considering using the Graduate Payment Mortgage Program, better known as Section 245A, to purchase a home should keep in mind that while their monthly payments to the principal and interest will start small, as I said earlier, they will increase substantially each year for up to 10 years and then ride out for the duration of the contract, depending upon the plan that you choose. How does this work? Okay. Lenders help low, moderate income families. Oh, yes. Lenders is confident to extend loans under this program, of course, to those who may not meet conventional loan requirements. FHA Mortgage insurance now allows individuals to qualify who may have been previously denied for a home loan by conventional underwriting guidelines. It also protects lenders against loan default on mortgages for properties. That includes properties like manufactured homes, single-family homes, and multi-family properties up to 4 units under the residential market. And believe it or not, it even includes some health-related facilities.
Interesting.
Through the Graduate Payment Mortgage Program, better known as Section 245A, first-time home buyers and others with limited income can tailor their monthly mortgage payment to fit their expanding income, therefore allowing them to purchase a home sooner than they would have if they had gone under conventional financing. Okay? Kind of wrap that up in my example earlier as I was talking to you guys about that. Kind of cover that up there already. Okay? This program allows you with little money. Rick, is there other programs too out there? Yes, they are. And this is why I am dedicating this month into talking about HUD programs. You see, these lenders have signed up under HUD. So you can go through HUD. Under this program, you can definitely go to the GPM, that's AckermanFort, .gov, FHA, put it at first. Okay, you can go HUD/FHA or just FHA, government mortgage program. Okay, under HUD, if you want to find it, this same program under HUD, you can. HUD gives some good examples. It is the same program. Okay, but you can certainly get it by going to gpm.gov. I'm just using the acronym to keep it short. Okay, and you can definitely get the listing of the names of lenders, banks, mortgage companies that you can go through to qualify. That is certified under HUD, and has given HUD their word that they will work with people like ourselves to be able to get qualified for this particular program. That's the difference. Then you just went out there to your local bank or your local credit union or your local mortgage company and you applied and they turned you down and they gave you a bunch of reasons why. One of the reasons that I got from a person this week was she didn't understand the fact that her and her brother credit score was the same. She had a 718, and he had a 719. That's, you know, still same, 1 point off. Okay. I had another young lady who her friend had a 720, and she was at a 720. Using the example of my 720 credit score, since they are basically the same, they was not the same. She did not understand why the lender turned her down. She'd been on her job for over 3 years. The young man was on his job for over 10 years. But the three-year qualification status is what they advertise on, so still it doesn't matter. She went on there for longer than that. But she has a 720 credit score. She already saw his credit score because she saw his report as well as he saw her report. They're good friends. Okay, not lovers, just friends. And she didn't understand why. Well, it was hard for me to just come out with an answer to that question without asking this question. What does your credit look like? I just told you, Rick. Yeah, I know you did, but I need to see it. Why? So I went on to explain to her in this capacity. There's a 720 light credit, and there's a 720 regular or heavy credit. So she wanted to know, what do I mean by that? Well, the light credit, let's say that you all had six trade lines. That's what you need to go conventional, you know, six or more. And what you but your maximal loan amount that you receive was $1,000. All of the other trade lines were less than 1,000. Some were department store credit cards. Some was other personal loans, but it was less than 1,000. Even though you paid them on time, did not miss a beat, you still have not proven your worthiness to handle a big ticket item. And buying a home is the biggest ticket item you will ever purchase in your life. A car is the second. And you need to get set first prior to going for home. Just my opinion on that, okay? And I think I'm pretty much on point there. With her friend, who had 6 trade lines, he had purchased a previous car for $25,000, had paid it out. I have another car loan that he had for $33,000, but he was at midpoint in paying it and did not miss a beat in paying it. He also had a personal loan for $5,000 that he had already paid that out on time. And he had credit cards account that was at $3,000 that he had already paid a lot of them down. And it all fit into the standard DTI at 24 over 36 like hers did. But the fact is that he has proven credit worthiness by having big ticket items that he has shown history in paying. So his 720 score is a justifiable score that lenders will use, whereas with her score, she may need a cosigner. And you can easily see the insult when a person is in that status, but didn't understand why they asked for that. And that is truly the reason. Okay? Got to move on. Eligibility. Any person who is able to meet credit requirement under this program, cash investments, and mortgage payment is eligible to apply for this program. However, this FHA loan program is limited to occupancy. It must be your primary residence. It cannot be an investment property. If you obtain this program and they find that you use it as an investment property, you have forfeited, and the loan can be called due. One of the other criteria is a larger than unusual down payments are required to prevent the total amount of the loan from exceeding the LTV, loan-to-value ratio. The down payment for the GPM program varies in proportions to the interest rate you'll be charging. Now, lenders do charge a larger increase in rate. Let me say it that way. Okay? And they do that because of the negative amortization. The fact is that they're not getting all of the interest when the loan starts, and the balance of that you did, from my example, and multiply it by 12 for each year and then tack it on the back of a loan, which is called the negative amortization, lenders see themselves that money's not going into their pocket. So they want to kind of compensate themselves. So they give you a larger interest rate, an increase in interest rate. If the average rate is at a 4.5, they may increase it by a point or a point and a half or something of that particular nature. Okay, that really depend on that particular lender, but just giving you that as an example. Got to move on. The new GPM program works in time of high interest when your first-time buyer cannot meet standard mortgage payments but does expect their income to rise within the 5 to 10 year time frame. Defining how the GPM works clearly, the GPM occurs a negative amortization so that the initial mortgage payments are made at a discount interest rate. The difference is then added to the principal balance in back, but larger than usual down payments are required to prevent the total amount of the loan from exceeding the LTV, loan-to-value, ratio, mortgage term. Vary in proportion to interest rate on the loan. Overall, the increase has been placed for 5 to 10 year program. It will go over that time frame from 5 to 10 years. It will go over to 10 years actually. It increases at a certain amount up to 5, then at 7.5 for the next 5 years, and that will complete the 10 year. That's how that goes. The mortgage payment will remain the same for the duration of the contract once it reaches the 10th year. It is important to understand, as I mentioned earlier, but just reinforcing, that the interest rate does not increase during the life of the mortgage. Just the amount of monthly payment. Additionally, building equity, important factor here, building equity in a program like this will take longer with lower payments in the first 10 years because you are still not making a full interest rate payment, okay? You're still not making a full interest rate payment. Keep in mind the program is designed so you're able to get the home in affordable status that you're in, but you are anticipating your income to increase over the 5 to 10 year time frame. Okay? Some of you may increase in 2, 1, 4, 5, you know, down the road. Nothing stays the same. Nothing stays the same. Nobody knows you better than you. So the program can even help you to get the American dream. An example of the negative amortization, how the GPM works, let me give it to you. You got a $200,000 house, okay, and it's at 30-year term at a 6% fixed-rate mortgage. Estimate, just for my example only, the payments will be $1,199, okay? Keep in mind, as I mentioned earlier, the lender gave you a little higher rate because the lender kind of, you know, they're not too thrilled with them not getting all the interest up front. Most of your loans, listen to me. Most of your loans, mortgage loans, is loaded with upfront interest. Let me say this again. Most of your mortgage loans, all of your mortgage loans, but that would be a biased statement to make, but most of your mortgage loans is loaded with interest all upfront. Okay. Under this program, all of your interest for the first 10 years is not upfront, leaving room, let's make this program so good, leaving room for you to be able to get a lower payment to make. Now, this is close to similar. Now, as I'm going to go back to explain the negative amortization, this is closely similar to other mortgage programs. And I've done it many times before. I even done it for a doctor friend of mine at the time, good client, done it for him from Jackson Park Hospital, Dr. Ranganathan. Did his loan for him on an interest-only loan. That's another program. And I'm going to talk about that, too. Not today. You know, that's a different venue for me to go into. Whereas he pays nothing but interest for the loan. For the first 10 years, he's going to pay nothing but full interest. Pays nothing on the principal. Just full interest. That's another program. His income is substantially great. Okay? He's a psychologist. I mean, I'm not going to give out his income, but his income is substantially great. Dr. Whitaker, another good doctor, excellent doctor, very well known here in Chicago. help him when he couldn't understand why banks were turning him down. And he's fresh out of medical school. And then here comes this black guy that can do something that someone else couldn't. Ain't that something? It's about understanding programs. Educated consumers are back customers. That's what Mortgage Talk is all about. Understanding the programs, the qualification form, how they work, and how to get the programs through the underwriter as a loan professional, that is what makes the difference in the competition of the mortgage industry with other loan professionals. I'm not tooting the horn here. You got some powerful guys out here that know their stuff. Strong and stand strong in this square. Proud. Even advertise their multiple listing number so you know. I'm giving you from my history as a mortgage broker. In training now to be an underwriter and to obtain my master's certification as an underwriter and then go and take the multiple listing test. Make a decision, will I return back to loan origination? This is my history. But I can share with you what my experience is, and I can share with you what my research is and what my research team here at Mortgage Talk has done to enable me to share good information with you. But I encourage you to do further research. Don't take my word. Do further research and get additional clarification and information. And you can listen to Mortgage Talk and listen to this show over and over again to pick up what you may have missed. Okay? That makes the difference in my industry and in the field that I was in and in the competition aspect. You know, my grandmother always told me that if whatever you're going to be the best at what you can be. If you're a bum, be the best bum. If you're a security officer, be the best security officer. If you're a police officer, be the best police officer. Be the best at what you do. But to be the best at what you do is going to require dedication and research. And that's what I did and many others like me. An example of the negative amortization on a $200,000 loan at 30 years at 6% fixed rate mortgage with a payment of $1,199. Thank you, Dave the man. Dave was just telling me, Rick, we're going a little bit over. Okay, I'm almost done. I'm almost wrapping it up. Thank you, Blog Talk, for hanging in with me, and I will be wrapping it up, okay? So I'm going to go just a little bit, but I'm going to wrap it, okay? Thank you, Dave, for letting me know. This is Dave the man, our engineer here at WHPNN Radio Network, as he's in my ear letting me know, and I do appreciate that. I thought I can go on with this. Okay. If you stretch this particular example over a 40-year mortgage term, there is a 40-year mortgage out there, by the way. If you take this example over a 40-year mortgage term payment, then that payment will be $1,100 on a $200,000 loan for a fixed 40 at 6% interest, fixed rate, okay? But the initial payment on a 30-year GPM program that Lenny's going to give you a little bit more. Remember I told you he's going to increase that rate a little bit more? That was a traditional 6%, okay? On a GPM program at 6.5%, on which the payment rises by 7.5 a year for the 5 years. only. And that will conclude that 10-year. Okay, remember, 5% for the first 5 years, 7.5% for the second 5 years. The total for that period at the 7.5 over the 5 years, you are paying $941. The interest rate on the GPM is a fix, just as it is on a standard fixed rate conventional loan. Quick pro quo. For the low initial payment is a large payment later on. The payment on the GPM rises for 5 consecutive years, reaching $1,351 in month 61 from the example of the 7.5 earlier. Okay, so stick with me. Where it stays for the remaining of the term. Remember now, initial payments on the GPM does not cover all of the interest. The difference in terms is a negative amortization. It's added to the loan balance, as I explained earlier to you guys. The loan amount goes down in month 61. You'll start seeing your loan balance will start going down, and you'll start noticing where you are now building equity at that point. Okay. This rise balance is the reason that lenders don't like that particular point, and that's the reason why they are charged a little higher in interest. Okay? Now, the other two alternative types of the GPM that I mentioned earlier, I'll tell you there was 5 of them, and I gave you what the first 3 does. Now let me tell you what the other 2 do. In just a little detail. The other GPM has different rates of payments increase over a different period. One has a 3% graduation rate over a 10-year instead of that 7.5 that rolled out the remaining of the 5-year from the previous program that I just talked about. Assuming the same example at a 6.5% rate, the initial payments would be higher at 1031 under that 3% graduation rate over the 10-year period. They will rise to 1388 in payments in 121 months. Okay? Negative amortization. However, is smaller peaking when you look at the total that will be added at that time. Now, if you take in that difference of the interest rate that I talked about earlier, if you did the computations and you multiply it by 12 over that 5 years at that 5% increase from that 450 payment example, if you take in that and multiply it for the remaining of the 5 years, which has been the 10th year, going into the 10th year at the 7.5%, if you take in that difference, each figure is going to be different, but you take the total amount of that and you put that on the back, that's your negative amortization. But when you put that on the back, it's going to go into the total amount of the loan that will be due if you were to pay it out then. Are you with me? Am I by myself? I heard a wise man say. In this example, under this program, the remaining two, the total of the balance will be $200,908. So it'll be smaller than what it would be under the first one that I talked about earlier. That's the point. A question came in, and it came in, and Dave gave it to me, and I do appreciate it. They want to talk about buy downs. Can I buy down a rate? It's just a simple question. Just a simple question. But you know me. You know I'm going to take it and run north with it. And I said to myself, are you sure that this came in, Dave? And he goes, yeah, it did. Yeah. You know, it came in during the earlier broadcast that we did through Anchor FM. And I said, okay. And so I answered that question. So I'm going to take that same question that came in when we were broadcasting on Anchor FM, and I'm going to put that question here and answer it on Blog Talk Radio. Okay? The question came in, under this program, can I buy down the rate? And the answer to that question is yes, but I got to go into some details because I just can't just say yes. Yes, but there's yes with other computations with it, if I can say it like that, if there's a good word to say. The GPM is not only the type of mortgage with a – it is not the only type, because I gave you the other one just with interest rate only. Remember that program that I gave to you about Dr. Ring and Nathan? The GPM is not the only type of mortgage with a rising payment. Fixed-rate mortgages with a temporary buy-down also carries lower payments in the early years. Give you some examples. The payment in the first 2 years on a fixed rate with a 2 or 1% buy-down are calculated at a rate that are 2% and 1% lower than the rate on a fixed rate mortgage. On a 6% interest over a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, on this example of a $200,000 loan that I gave earlier, the first year payments would be $955, rising to $1,074 in year two, and to $1,199 in year three, and writing that out for the duration of the contract over the 30 years. And the buy-down loan amortized as it would without a buy-down, there is no negative amortization. For a temporary buy-down to work, someone must fund the required buy-down account. Withdrawals from this account supplement the payments made by the borrower in year one and two, so that the lender receives the same payment, $1,199 throughout. The grand total of $4,436 that will be in that account that is required, that's the cost of the buy-down. And that's what's going into the buy-down account that must be provided earlier by the borrower or the seller. Interesting. A negotiation, not the mortgage broker. You always want to stick it to the mortgage broker. The GPM don't require a buy-down account. Let me say that again. A GPM don't require a buy-down account. So you can't do it. Rick, you said I could. No. But you can't do it. Because they don't hold a buy-down account. That's how buy-downs work. They don't hold a buy-down account. So you can't do it. If you could, you to borrow, you can pay for it. Or the seller can pay for it. Not your mortgage broker. Got to protect my mortgage, guys. I know in some states they say, no, Illinois, the mortgage broker got to do it. Why? It's not the mortgage broker that's doing the buy now. I totally disagree with that, and it cuts into the fee of the mortgage broker that'll make the mortgage broker not want to do the loan, and that's why you'll find certain mortgages, companies, and mortgage brokers that will turn down certain clientele based off the program that they want to go into, because if they can't make money, then they're not going to do the program. They're just simple. They're just keeping it simple, okay? I'm just going to keep it real, all right? Not everything will require a buy-down. Now, let me explain to you how the buy-downs percentages work, okay? Because it's not the same as it was when we were taught in school, in second and in third grade. The mortgage, the traditional, conventional buy-down percentages is usually a 0.500 for 1 point. For 2 points, is 1.0, okay, of the total amount of the loan. Under non-conforming, you will find the percentages will vary among lenders. It may be 0.300 through one, 0.400 through others, 0.415 through others just as well. And that is considered a 1 point aspect. Okay? What lender that you choose to use, and if you choose to buy a rate down, then please know and ask for the computations. What is the percentages used for 1 point or 2 point if the lender allows you to buy down for that particular point? You don't just choose what points that you're going to buy the rate down. The lender has to approve of you to do the buy down, and then the lender sets forth what are the point factors for you to buy down, and that's based off the margin and the index of the rate in which they pay for on the market. Educated consumer, the best customer. That's why it's important for you to keep up with that. You do know interest rate changes 3 times in a day. Okay. First in the morning, around by what, 9? Change again afternoon, after 12. Then the final changes around after 3. Okay. These interest rate changes. This is why sometimes people do this. This is why they will lock in a rate. That can work for you, and sometimes it can work to your advantage, and sometimes it can work at a disadvantage. But buy-downs is based off the program in which you're on. Does it require a buy-down? As you can see, this particular program does not. Some conventional loans will. Not everybody is aware of buy-downs. Your mortgage broker can easily explain a buy-down to you. But if it's listed in his state that if you buy down, it'll be charged to the deal, in which it comes out of his fee, you may not be able to get a loan with that mortgage broker because he's not going to lose money for you to do a buy-down. And that's not being unfair. That's very, very fair. Because if you work for someone and at the end of your working and you did the job that needed to be done, you want to be compensated. You want to be compensated for your value. Your value was determined when you was hired on what they're going to pay you on the hour or salary, and you agreed to it. It was a verbal contract, whether you realize it or not. That's the same thing that you did with the mortgage broker. Okay? Now you want to offset that contract because you're going to sign an agreement with him, but you want to offset that contract with the buy-down, and simply because of the state in which you're in, it forces and requires that broker to cover it. And that's not right, and it's not fair. Okay? Now, I'm not telling you don't do a buy-down. I'm not. Some of you didn't even know that a buy down exists or that you could do a buy down. But you can, but you better understand the margin and the index. Go to blogtalkradio.com/mortgagetalk1. Go in there and scroll down and choose the blog that worked for you, but choose the buy down blog that I talked about. And I did that about a couple of years ago. Okay? Help giving you an idea of what a margin is and what an index is, who sets it, where it comes from, so you can look through the paper before you go and start shopping for interest rate. You're able, even through banks, you can do the same thing. You can buy down. Banks recognize educated consumers. They really do. They really do. You come in there looking for answers and questions, you're going to get limited answers. And hardly no questions, but only the questions that they wanted to answer and answer it in the contents of them helping you and educating you when actuality they avoided you pulling the wool off, so to speak, and getting a lower rate because you had an 800 credit score or 825 or 830 credit score. Educated consumers, you have credit scores of 830 and 845 and 9, are very much aware of margins and index. And if they're not, somebody in their family is, and they're going to educate them very, very quickly. Okay? This is why you can get, this is why they'll take their friend Josie with them when they go to negotiate for the loan. Because they don't quite understand, but Josie does. And so she's able to go in because she understands margin and index. And she know what the, and she know at the time that the rate was at this, what they're offering, she know what they actually paid for that rate. So she know the margin and index is. She know what's the front profit, that a word to say, okay? So she knows how much of it that she can negotiate with. Naturally, she's going to ask for the moon, but she only gets the stars. And sometimes that can be just as good as just getting flat land. Kind of interesting in that point. So that's what you have when you want to really negotiate for interest rate. Have challenge credit? Come on now. Come on. You got very limited leeways in that. You really do. You'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. This is the best we can do. I'm sorry. Okay, then you go somewhere else and you find the rate to be even higher, or you might be able to get a quarter of a point lower, or you might not be able to get it at all, but they'll treat you so nicely and give you cookie and cake and ice cream and all that good stuff, and you really feel good, and they smile at you more. So you say, oh, you know what, this is the place I want to be, but you got a higher rate, but you got the same rate. Okay? The other place is like, oh, get out of here. You don't qualify for this. Educated consumer, the best customer. That's how you're able to stand firmly in your square, and that's how you're able to obtain what you want in what you're trying to do, especially if it's purchasing and buying a home. Talking about the Graduate Payment Mortgage Program, better known as Section 245A, is a program that can work for many, many people. Many people. There are many other programs that can work for you just as well. I'm going to be talking about a Title II program coming up real soon. I'm going to go into Title II. What is a Title II? You know, how does that work? How can I qualify? Is there any credit scores that's involving in that? Anything under HUD, anything that's FHA, government loans, the standard qualification is there, a 580 credit score. This is FHA, 620 and 640 through some lenders, okay? So we got a lender here that says, you know, you're not a 620, I can't give you this. You go to another lender that's listed, and they can say, yeah, you had a 589, of course we can. Of course, we can get you done. Okay? You guys shop it a little bit like that. Why? Well, because these lenders are, because they keep them in their portfolio, as I mentioned that last week when I was talking about FHA. You know, that's the time that Blog Talk cut me off, or our signal got lost, and we was out there only for 20 minutes. But you can get that show just by going to speaker.com/8501589. You can get last week's show, and you can get the full entirety of last week's show, okay? So there's a backup. I thank you guys so much. I did go over. I know Dave, and Dave right now is screaming in my ear. Thank you, Dave. I did go over. We may have to put in a little bit more time. I'm going back to be long-winded again. But I appreciate you guys, and I certainly hope that this helps you. If you have any questions or if you want to email me, you certainly can. You can go to mortgagetalk1, that's number one symbol, at gmail.com. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Rick Montgomery, and you can inbox me. You go to my Twitter page, too. It's under Mortgage Talk, and my name is there, too, and you can get me there. Mortgage Talk does have his own Facebook page, but I think Karen Young Jordan, we're just kicking it off a little bit. So I won't say inbox me there or send me something there. You can. I still will get it. Okay. Because Mortgage Talk One still has a Facebook page, but I think they're starting to really do something with it now. Okay. Well, I hope this information have helped you. At least use it as arson in your supply. And stay tuned for more good information. We're going to have Legal Shield on again, and we had him on about 4 years ago. But we're going to have Legal Shield on again. We're going to be talking about Legal Shield. Hopefully we can have a Legal Shield representative again that will be able to answer questions and go over some things with us too. If not, we do have the information on Legal Shield. I've had Legal Shield for years, and I mean years. And when it was called Prepaid Legal, then I joined them again in about 2013, if I'm not mistaken, and I've had them since then. I think it was the latter part of 2013, and I had Tanya on as a district manager of Legal Shield. We're trying to reach her to get a confirmation so we can get her on again here on Mortgage Talk. But we do have good information, and as a Legal Shield associate, I'll be able to give you some additional information about it just as well, okay? So that's coming up, and then, of course, we will be finishing out our series on HUD programs, helping you to be able to do that. The series will go into May. I think it's May the 5th or May the 4th, the first Friday of May, and then the HUD program series will end there. I mean, I won't be talking about HUD programs in the following to come. It just won't be consistent back to back to back. We'll have one break bringing in Legal Shield, but it won't be like it is now. You may get one here, one there, one over here, you know, be spread out a little bit more. But we're going to keep giving you arsons to put into your weaponry. Containers, so you can know which program that can work for you, which programs that you will be able to utilize if you get the American Dream. That's the name of the whole show, because Mortgage Talk is under the umbrella of Information Center, where we give you nothing but the facts within the facts, none of our own personal opinion, just the facts. We don't try to reinvent the wheel. We just try to give you the facts. And me and my research team, that's what we do, to try to bring you the information. Okay? Let us know what you think about it. We're going to post it out there. We're also on Anchor FM, and that'll be out there too. I'm ready to go do speaker.com now. And I appreciate you guys so much. I'll see you next Friday on Mortgage Talk. We're on at 8:30, and I'll see you next Friday on Mortgage Talk. I thank you guys so much. God bless you. You have been so wonderful. Thanking you. Dave's the man. Since we did have a cutoff on the earlier as we came on, let's close out with that same song that we had a cutoff on. Thank you guys for being here on Mortgage Talk. I thank you so much. God bless you, and I'll see you next week on Mortgage Talk. I'm Rick Montgomery. WHBNN Radio Network.